Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined by producer Joel. He is here.
Hey.
He's on Zoom for the first time in lockdown. We are looking at each other.
It's nice. I was just wondering if you'd forgotten what I look like.
You look good, Joel. Have you had your hair cut?
No, I've worked it out. Like, I have to, if I shower and then immediately brush it all down.
Yeah,
it's fine.
What do you mean all down? Otherwise, it's up at the
game
moment.
Over. Yeah, but if I brush it
down,
it sort of keeps some sort of yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just like
looks good.
Properly mad.
Looks good, mate.
Thanks, man. You've got quite a lot of fringe going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, but this is normal. I can work this until it grows down to my shoulders, mate. Don't you worry about that.
Go on then.
Well, I can't just do it now. It's not how hair works. Joe, how's your lockdown?
It's not really changed that much.
No, it's a bit boring when I talk to you about this stuff. You don't really change it up. You don't change gear.
All right.
Change gear now. Change gear. Go into second.
I've got loads of cookbooks and I've actually started reading them and cooking.
There you go. That's good stuff. Naked Chef?
I have been, but the oil has caught me out a couple of times.
Nigella?
Waitrose have sold out of those seeds, so we're having to use alternative ingredients.
I can't think of any more. Oh, Gordon Ramsay. You can't think of one.
Gordon's gin is nice.
Heston,
no, we haven't stopped at the services, unlike
Heston's services. And that gets us on to what we've just watched. We just watched the conference, the press conference, literally just happened. That was a long time, wasn't it?
It was so long, Mark.
I just wrote a joke about that. Did you see it?
No, what was it?
I said, imagine how quick it would have been if he didn't stutter.
That's good fun.
Do you not like that joke?
Well done. I actually think you've got quite a unique perspective on this as a man who regularly drives long distances.
Yeah.
Would you often do? Would you do a 260-mile trip without stopping?
No, not good for you.
Not good for you. And
I can't believe that child didn't need a wee in that entire journey.
There's no way. There's no way.
No.
There's simply no way.
And when he was a bit dodgy when he was talking about the petrol on the way back and all, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a bit dodgy.
And also, yeah. I mean, this isn't really what this podcast is about, but I thought what it's just fresh in the brain. That his trip to the castle, I mean, that's not, I mean, everyone knows that's just absolute nonsense. Like,
what, testing his eyesight?
You test your eyesight, yeah. One, that's weird. Two, you test your eyesight by going to the castle the day before you make the trip. If you're testing it, you'll test it in the morning and then you'll drive.
It's 30 miles away. It's a bit like quite often, so I run quite a lot and my legs can be quite sore. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll get up and I'll run 5 kilometres just to check that I can come home and then run 10.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that political nonsense. That's not what people are here for, are they, Joel?
Absolutely not. It's not what I'm here for.
No. This week, it's Susie McCabe.
Hey.
So the show that you were going to do at the King's Theatre, was that a new show or was that?
Yeah.
Oh wow, yeah, you're doing a big gig like that with a new show. Wow, that's cool.
Well, I've done 10 tour dates with it. I done that in the autumn.
Oh,
but,
right.
So I've only done the 10 dates in its entirety because it's like 90 minutes, 95 minutes. So I've done those dates, but that was like October.
Right.
So that's like an eternity ago. In comedy terms, isn't it, for a show? It's just so long ago now. But yeah, no, I mean, obviously, when I've been doing gigs, I've been working stuff up and taking stuff out, and stuff's been growing, and by other bits growing into longer pieces, other bits have kind of fell by the wayside, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And then you're going to take that to Edinburgh.
That was the plan.
Yeah. Let's just wait a year. Wait a year. Everyone's shows will be great. Yeah. It'll be good as gold. 2021.
Yeah, and also, I mean, even if you did go ahead with it, the chances of the public actually coming out, you know, because in Scotland, our schools go back halfway, not even halfway through the fringe, about 10 days into the fringe, our schools go back. So
yeah,
the summer holidays are over, so you're then relying on Scottish audiences at weekend, but international audiences through the week. So I will see what happens.
Have you been writing anything since you've been in lockdown, or you just sort of switched off?
I've just been working on the show. Working on the show and just try to kind of keep it fresh in my head and go over bits. Like when I've been, you know, painting a radiator, you know, just going over bits in my head and thinking about stuff, because you've just got to.
I mean, if you're doing 90 minutes, that's, you know, that's a lot to remember. So yeah, yeah,
it's a lot.
100%.
Thankfully, I'm a storyteller, so
yeah,
I can come off in bits and go into other bits and then pull in other bits
you only really need one start off point and then you're away, rather than
whatever happens.
Yeah.
that's the magic, that's showbiz. but it'll be fine, but it'll be fine once I start gigging again.
Yeah,
I just feel, I know what it's like when you take a 2 week holiday and you go back gigging, you're a little bit ring rusty.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a boxer that's not been to the gym for 2 weeks.
Are you doing any of these online gigs?
No. I've not really had the chance because I've been pretty busy. Both my parents are elderly, so okay. I've been kind of tied up with that. They've both got underlying health conditions, so I've been doing the gloves and the bandana over my face and dropping stuff off and just doing the check-in with them.
Yeah, that's more important.
And that's it. And I just kind of feel that I don't really have anything to say in coronavirus. Everything that gets said every day, and there's just nothing funny in it. And I don't want to have then said to people, pay 22 quid or 20 quid to come and see me at the King's.
Yeah,
and then they go, wait
a
minute, I seen that when you done it for free and I was sat in my jammies on a Saturday night, you know.
That's wise.
just try and keep it fresh for folk, and you know what, I don't think they need to see my face just now. I've been quite busy in social media, having a bit of fun on there, just, you know, having a bit of a laugh and updating that kind of whole, you know, two people trapped in a house decorating.
That's great. It's an angle I haven't seen anyone else doing.
Yeah, just having a bit of a laugh about it and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think, as much as when people go, oh yeah, you really need comedy at this time, I think just do what you're trying to do. However you're getting through it, get through it. Because a lot of people have came off social media as well just now because it's been quite negative. And,
yes. You know, people don't want to be reminded all the time about it.
Yeah, like I've started watching Hunters on Netflix, which is quite graphic, and it's about a group of kind of vigilantes who are going about finding former Nazis who are living in America. And I was like, that's how bad. It's great, it's cracking, it's quite violent, but it's kind of justified violence, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
It's in context of what you're watching. And
if you're going to be violent to anyone, might as well be Nazis.
Yeah, exactly. My thoughts, exactly. So I was like, how bad is the world just now that this is your light entertainment?
Yeah.
This is like
a stick of comedy on.
Yeah. This is light entertainment as opposed to having to watch actual entertainment, which is just constantly the news. So
what I think is absolutely crazy is if you go on Netflix, that the film that's trending the most is it's something to do with I think it's called Outbreak or something like that.
Contagion.
Yeah, there's a few of them and they're all being watched now. It's like, why would you do that to yourself?
Madness, absolute madness. But yeah. I don't understand it either. I don't understand it.
So your show you're working on, are there any bits that you're struggling with that you can't quite get how you want?
It's been all right, actually. It's just been the usual kind of working up of a show, but it's been all right. On my last show, that was probably more prevalent because it was called Domestic Disaster, and it was about my 16-year relationship coming to an end, and we had been married for just over two. So
okay.
I didn't really touch any of that other than the marriage is over and I ended up back at my mum and dad's. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that show was about being back at my mum and dad's, which was great, which is just funny when you move back to your parents as an adult. Deeply depressing, but very funny. so the kind of first section of that show was about that, and there was a particular bit I remember probably for about the first 3 months, I kind of bottled using it. There was a particular bit where...
Is that because you tried it once and it didn't quite hit how you wanted and then you didn't trust it?
No, it was because, see, when I said the opening line, I could literally feel tension in the room. See, when I said the line, like the build-up to it, I could literally feel the room become tense, but then I worked out that the room became tense because I became tense when I started saying it.
Right, okay.
Do you know what I mean? So they were obviously like, oh, she's a bit scared, we're a bit scared. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they can sense it.
Yeah, because it's that whole thing that an audience, you know, you've went out, you've made them laugh, they're with you, you've built up their trust. And as soon as you're maybe, it's almost like that bit when you're trying new material and it's just not slick and it's not polished and it's a little bit clumsy and you're having to think about it so much in your own head to try and say it the right way that they're kind of a bit lost because they're going, oh, this is a gear change. Do you know, everything was, we were going at, you know, 70 miles an hour and we were in fifth gear and everything was great and now we're... going at 50 miles an hour and she's in third gear and the engine's screeching and we don't know why she's done this, you know. So I did have a particular bit. It was actually about my brother. I was kind of dealing with things like internalised misogyny within the family and stuff like that, right? And just how mothers, you know, treat their sons and blah, blah, blah. And I was doing all that and I had a bit where I said... My brother's been in, he got married age 45, had his first child age 46, and he's an officer and a pilot in the Royal Air Force. So for 30 years, he slept his way around the world, and that was fine. And then I would say, but my brother's career is spent bombing women and children, and my career is making people laugh. Who do you think the favourite is? Fat Tom Cruise, right? Now, see when you say my brother's career was bombing women and children, you could feel, like, in certain places it didn't matter, but in other places, especially, like, army towns and stuff, you could feel a kind of, you know, and you're thinking, really? Is that, this is my brother's job that we're talking about? Right, so if anyone can slag it, I can slag it, you know, and the whole notion that your brother is so successful and you make people laugh for a living, just, it's either end of the spectrum, you know, I'm a joker, this is what this guy does every day, he basically goes out and helps save the world, right, but I've painted it in such a negative way to try and make me look better. But the inverse reaction to that was the...
So do you think... Yeah, so do you think that didn't come across in what you were doing? What you were trying to get at, if you know what I mean.
What I was trying to say, yeah, because the reality of that is very funny that, you know, your mother's, you know, a mother and her son is always a mother and her son, you know, and nothing can come between that. And that's completely fine. But highlighting it by what he does for a living and showing it in the most negative light and then throwing light onto me is this, I'm going around the world making people happy. You know, I'm the good guy in this situation. And I think because I got that reaction initially, I started to become very self-conscious of the joke.
Yeah, you're doubting it.
So then as I become more self-conscious of the joke and thinking, am I going to offend people in this room?
Mm.
And then one night I had a bunch of soldiers in who were out having a night out and a gig I was doing. It was an Edinburgh Stand. And I'd done the gag and they were absolutely rolling about the floor laughing, right? Absolutely. Which made the whole room laugh and they were like, boo, Air Force, boo. And I was like, I know, you boys get shot at, he doesn't get shot at because clearly he's got more brains than you, right? And then that was it, like, we were all pals. And see, as soon as they accepted it, I could then accept the joke. I could then go on stage with confidence and go, I know that I can deliver this and it's funny and it's not offensive. So what I need to do is let them take their sharp intake of breath, but be 100% confident that I can get them to that punchline and they're going to laugh. Do you know what I mean? Psychologically... Yeah. I still need to be in control of that joke. I've got to let the intake of breath happen because almost that contributes to the payoff.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, that's really interesting. So that's lucky you had that gig.
Yeah.
So when they were in, did you think, right, I'm going to try this now? I'm going to test it.
Do you know what? I'm just going to have a bit of fun with this. I just thought I'll have a bit of fun with it because they weren't... A lot of people think, oh, a bunch of army lads in an audience, that would be terrible. This was their Christmas night out every year and they were so sound and they were so well behaved and they were just lovely, lovely blokes that you thought, yeah, it's just a group of guys in a night out. It's absolutely fine. Doesn't matter what they do for a living. And by just running out that material and just having so much fun with them. And they were great. They were absolutely great. And I felt then that I felt that my joke had almost been vindicated in my own psyche. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Your brother heard it?
Yeah. And he laughs, you know what I mean? And actually, when I've done gigs like down south or up north or solo shows, a few of his kind of ex-colleagues who are maybe still in the forces but they're not stationed together and stuff have came to the show and seen it and they've laughed, you know, they've loved it because they just see what I'm trying to do. It's more sometimes the general public will get offended on their behalf.
Have you ever had some bits that create that sort of tension but you haven't worked out how to get it across the line?
I've always banked on this is the tense bit. I've always banked on being likeable enough to get away with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to do, like, a Frankie Boyle line, right? You know, like, classic Frankie, Madeleine McCann, or whatever, right? I've not got the bullshitness to carry it off on a consistent gag-on-gag, joke-on-joke. And also, I just think that's quite tiring. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like it kind of has to be a character. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. To do that. Whereas I'm a storyteller. So that also contributes to the kind of the honesty element and the likability because people go, well, it's her life. You know what I mean?
Have you ever had the thing where something's happened to you that's just... that is funny, but it's so far, like, the audience don't believe it, even though it is true.
I was once at a funeral, and I was brought up Catholic, and I'm in the west of Scotland, so when you need to go to a Catholic funeral, or the kind of repos of the soul, you maybe go and you say the rosary and stuff like that in someone's house, and some people still have the body home at the house in a coffin and stuff. Right. So I was at this wake, as you would call it, and we were all there, and it was the hottest day, the absolute hottest day of the year. It was roasting, right? But like the worst situation possible for a body to be in a coffin in the house, right? So I go back, I go up to the rosary, and it's absolutely, it's heaving, right? There's people in the back garden all sitting with their rosary beads waiting for the rosary to start and all that. And somehow, me and my mate from school ended up at the bottom of the coffin, right? It was like when it started, that's just where we were, and we were kind of trapped in that position, right? Okay. So we were like, oh. And the rosary was moving round the coffin, which was all very close family, and everyone was having to say a bit. And I got round to my mate, and my mate's saying to me, you need to swap places with me. You need to swap places. And I was like, nah, mate, just say the rosary. And they're like, no, I can't say the rosary. I'm like, mate, now bear in mind, we're at the foot of a coffin. There's like over 100 people praying in this house, right? And she's like, you need to say my bit. Just stand at my bit and say my rosary. And I was like, mate, just stand there and say, you're creating a scene. Just say the rosary. And I was like, don't tell me you can't remember the rosary. Like, you must know the rosary. And she was like, I do know the rosary, but I married a Protestant. We didn't get married in the chapel. We get married at a registry office. If I say the rosary, he's going to go to hell. And I just looked at my mate and I went, I married a woman who was a Protestant, right? Which gets a massive laugh, but nobody thinks that happened. Do you know what I mean? Because people are going, there is no way that happened in the middle of 100 people saying a prayer and you're stood at the bottom of the coffin. And I'm like, no, 100% that actually happened in the hottest day of the year. Everyone's dressed in black.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So what would the reaction be when you tried that? Could you just feel that they didn't really believe that it happened?
Yeah. You could get away with it in places like, so if I'd done it in Belfast and Glasgow, obviously they were like, that's very funny because...
Yeah, because I don't even know what the... what did you call it? The rosary.
The rosary, yeah.
Rosary. I don't even know what that is.
It's a sequence of prayers that you see in right. the Catholic Church. So it's like your Hail Mary, your Our Father and stuff like that. So it goes right. in a decade of the rosary, is 10 rosaries, then it's followed
maybe
by
that's
Our
a, maybe yeah. that's also an element, because if these people knowing what that is. And
yeah.
Because I didn't know that. So is that an actual belief that if something like that happens, they would go to hell?
Yeah.
Is that like... Yeah.
Yeah, just that.
So I just don't know anything about...
But it's so funny because it's like that kind of, you know, you're 40 years old and yeah. you've completely rationalised how you feel about religion and faith. But as soon as you're put in a very Catholic situation, you become an yeah. eight-year-old version of yourself going, oh no, somebody's going to get sent to the bad fire. Do you know what I mean? This is ridiculous. This is preposterous.
I reckon he was just shy and didn't want to do it.
I don't. Oh no, definitely not shy. Just like, oh no, mate, you need to do that. I married a Protestant, mate. I married a woman that's a Protestant. So funny. So funny.
Have you got any other things like that?
Oh yeah. I mean, there was loads. Like I used to have a whole bit about. I used to do loads of material about my gran. I was really close to my maternal grandmother, my nana, and I had a whole bit like about when she was dying, like the priest coming round to do the last rites, like the last sacrament you get as a Catholic, and she'd just passed away, and my dad had got me to phone the priest, and I didn't know what was going to happen because I've never seen the last rites, and then we get through it all. And my mum said, that's the priest staying for a cup of tea. You're going to need to get the Hoover out. And I'm like, I have just lost the most important woman in my life and you want me to get a Hoover out? Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, what have I to do with her? Give her a leg and a wing? Like, what is wrong with you? And then it was like me trying to sneak out for a cigarette during this disaster, because my parents knew that I had tattoos and that I slept with women, but if they caught me smoking, I would be kicked out of the house. I would be dead. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Because it's like, that's such a mum thing, and people are like, aye, my parents don't know I smoke. What age are you? 55. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. You know? So, yeah, there's loads of stuff like that. Loads of stuff yeah. like that. Because people just think you're just embellishing it, and I'm like, no.
This happened.
This happened, yeah. I mean, even, like, because it is stories and this true to life, like, a couple of months after my gran died, my mum got pancreatic cancer. So that was 2016, and I've only written about that in this show. But I said to her... In the new show, yeah, I had to. Mm. I kind of sat her down. And I said, "Look, the premise of this show is me trying to be a better person, and appreciating what I have and how lucky I am, and all this kind of stuff. And part of that has to be when your mum has had a cancer that only 13% of people survive from. That you have to take a look at that." And I talk about that and how desperately worried I was and how sick I was and all that. And I said to my mum, I want to talk about this because there's bits of this that are really funny, but the joke is always on me.
Yeah.
And it's not about you or your illness. It's just maybe about like your behaviours, because you're of a certain generation that behave a certain way. Like, just now, like, with like 2 weeks ago, I couldn't get my mum to stay in the house, you know, coronavirus, couldn't get her to stay in the house, right?
Yeah.
Now, I arrive at the house and she's armed with two bottles of bleach and a balaclava, do you know what I mean? It's like deadbolts across the door. So, and the whole thing about, I mean, it took me a good few years to write about my mum having the cancer, and there's a particular line where I say, you know, my mum, you know, she lost so much of her stomach, she lost her spleen, she lost her pancreas. I tell you what, she never lost her voice, you know, and just, and that kind of makes people feel at ease. But what I did notice was I couldn't at any point, I used to explain that she had cancer, and see, as soon as you said the word cancer, the tension in that room, it went from being a really good comedy show to just tense. And you're doing a solo show, so you need to see it through. And I couldn't work out how to kind of get around this. And then my mate, another comedian, Christopher MacArthur Boyd, said, why don't you just say the word sick, but still describe it the same way?
Yeah.
So that they know exactly what it is that you're talking about, but you've not said the word. And see the difference in that? Unbelievable.
Really, yeah.
Massive. Absolutely massive.
That's really interesting.
Oh, fascinating. And then at the end of the joke, I then go in and I talk about trying to be a better daughter and taking my mum out and stuff. But I said, I explained before I go into that bit, that she had pancreatic cancer. And then see, when I do that, it's all right because they know that she's had cancer. Because
you've eased it in.
Because I've eased it in by a description and not by saying the word. Really, real psychology in that.
Yeah.
And thinking about your audience and what tension. Because sometimes it's good to build up tension.
I was literally just having the conversation with Tiffany Stevenson about that like you can, tension's great because the whole thing is tension release, but you can have too much tension and it's too far the other way.
Yeah. I used to do a bit and I loved doing it, and it was talking about my gran again, and I used to say, I was back in the house and she was in the house, so I'd go and see her every day, and I spoke about her having dementia and her saying this to me and me saying that, and it was a real jovial conversation. And then I spoke about singing her a hymn one day, and then me realising while I'm singing her this hymn how short a time I had left with her and how upset I was, but how I couldn't let her see I was this upset.
Yeah.
And I kind of build it up in a couple of layers over maybe a minute or two, and then the punchline is absolute nailed on killer, because it's my vulnerability that you're looking at, not her illness. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're looking at my vulnerability, and that's where the tension comes from, because you already like me and you don't want to see me vulnerable. And then I do the punchline and it's like, oh, what a relief, it's still funny and it's dead nice and I'll have a wee giggle about that tomorrow.
And it's so important that the technical joke writing part of that joke is that it's so strong, you can have that long build up because you're confident in, you know, the punch, the level of the punch. Because I've had jokes where, like, I've had quite a long sort of build up, but the punch wasn't, it was a fine joke, but it wasn't good enough. So you had to shorten that sort of lead in.
Yeah, yeah, because you're asking them to invest into that.
Mm.
You're asking them to invest their time into that story. And that story's got to be funny all the way through, but that punch has got, like, it's got to land like it's came from Tyson. Do you know what I mean? It's just got to absolutely smack it right down, especially nowadays, like, when I watch kind of classic Conley, or even just listen to him without actually watching, sometimes there's not a joke for 5 minutes.
Mm.
But the build-up is so precise and so intricate. Whereas if you then watch, like, Michael McIntyre, who will have the build-up and the intricacy, but it will have an absolute load of silliness and jokes into it as well.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why if you YouTube, most comedians are 3-4 minutes long. If you YouTube McIntyre, it's like 8 or 9 minutes.
Yeah. It's just punch after punch after punch, and then a massive payoff.
Yeah. Plus the physicality, plus the silliness, the silliness of it as well, because he's silly. Like, he's a good clown, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, that kind of thing, whereas you you're really asking an audience to invest in you at 25 past 10 on a Saturday night and they've been drinking for 4.5 hours.
Susie McKay! Hashtag awooga, Susie. Good stuff. Lovely stuff. Cool. Great stuff. Any feedback for the episode on social media? At Jokes with Mark across all those social media outlets. Oh, by the way, thank you everyone who's signing up to Patreon. Lots of people signing up and had a few nice comments about the Nick Helm bonus episode.
Very good.
Well, I say bonus episode. It's basically the full hour and a half, whereas we only put out 45 minutes normally of the podcast. So, yeah, so that's great. Glad you're enjoying that. If you want to find that, it is patreon.com/jokeswithmark.
Absolutely. And on Patreon from this week, we'll be releasing a little bonus episode, won't we, Mark?
With just us two.
Yeah.
Mark and Joel on demand.
So if you like these bits at the start and end, which according to one reviewer on iTunes in America is their favourite bit of the show, which I think about
America?
Yeah.
America?
Americans love this stuff.
I had no idea Americans were listening. Ah, if you're an American, hit us up on social media, let us know. just say I'm American, hashtag awooga, and we'll know what you're talking about. But yeah, Joel and I, we're gonna be talking about everything you can watch on demand at the moment during lockdown. That's a bit of fun, isn't it? Give a like sort of live review and encourage people to watch or not watch things.
Yeah,
it's gonna be good. I've got some up my sleeve. I've been watching some things that I don't think you know about, Joel.
Are you willing to tell me about them in public?
I'm pretty sure you know about those things. So, okay. Cool. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Aruga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.